So last week, we were in Zechariah both during the morning and the evening service. And as we met for the evening service, for those who weren't able to make it, we talked a little bit about one of the visions, night vision, that Zechariah had. And it was an opportunity to see how God was protecting Israel. And so the vision was that there was peace on earth toward Israel, and it was the angel of the Lord who stood among the myrtle trees. And it was interesting little tidbit that I found out that the word for myrtle, the same name, is also the name that Esther had, which was Hadassah, was actually her Jewish name. And so as the Lord stood among the Hadassah trees and was proclaiming that there was peace for them, it was right around the same time that God was using Esther to help bring peace to the Jewish people and to give them a defense against the edict, which was going to destroy them all. So it was interesting how we see also that the Hadassah tree, the myrtle tree, is something that's used during the Feast of Booths. And that would have been one of the trees or bushes that they would have used as well to make their booths. And so the whole idea of the Feast of Booths is that the Lord dwells among us, tabernacles among us, and such an amazing thought. It's all pointing forward to a time whenever we're really going to be united with God, and so we're looking forward to that time. We're going to pick it up at verse 12 today, and we're going to read through the final part of the chapter as well. But today we're going to talk about how God fulfills His promises. Do I get an amen? Has there ever been a promise that God's ever made in the Bible that He broke? Never been a promise that He ever broke. There's some promises that are yet to be fulfilled, and we're looking forward to those. Amen. And if you're on the right side of things with God, if you're actually a child of God, all those promises that we have are ones we can look forward to. I've heard Christians say that it scares them to read the book of Revelation. If you kind of fit into that category, I want you to encourage you, don't be afraid when you read the book of Revelation, because for the children of God, that's all just part of how things come together to the end. And we are united with God forever together with Him. Heaven's going to come down, and the new Jerusalem is going to be here on earth, and everything is going to be combined like God desired for it to be. There's going to be no separations anymore between God and His children, between heaven and earth, and all things that are evil will be destroyed. Now, for those who are not right with Jesus, that should be a frightening thought. And, you know, we've almost gotten into church where we don't discuss things about the wrath of God anymore. We don't discuss things about how the blessings of God are especially for His children, but not for those who are still enemies of God. And that's frowned upon in our culture today. But without knowing that fact, I would have never been saved. I needed to know that I was lost. I needed to know that I was on the wrong side of God, that I had wrath in store for me before I could know that I needed Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I needed to know that I was a sinner. And in this area of Zechariah, we're going to see that there are special blessings for God's children. And, you know, they were coming out of a 70-year exile, so they had definitely felt the discipline of the Lord. For 70 years, Israel had been exiled to a foreign land because they had been a disobedient children. But the thing of it was, God didn't do that just to be wrathful and angry toward them or to show His anger toward them. He did that to discipline them, to straighten out their course and to call out a remnant to follow after Him, because they had really turned away from Him. But there were some other nations that were involved in this whole thing that God used in His plan. He's going to talk about them just a little bit in here. So let's go ahead and read Zechariah chapter 1, verses 12 through 21. If you could stand in honor of the reading of the word, if you're able. If you need to stay sitting, that's fine. But let's read from chapter 1, verse 12 through 21. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah against which you are angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked to me, with good and comforting words. So the angel who spoke with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great zeal. I am exceedingly angry with the nations at ease, for I was a little angry, and they helped but with evil intent. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am returning to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says the Lord of hosts, and a surveyor's line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked with me, what are these? So he answered me, these are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. Then the Lord showed me four craftsmen, and I said, what are these coming to do? So he said, these are the horns that scattered Judah, and that no one could lift up his head, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you that in your righteousness, you brought discipline against your people because they had so turned away from you. I thank you that in faithfulness you did this, but it was never your intention to completely destroy them. It was never your intention to just brutally punish them. And yet these other foreign nations, these Gentile nations, took advantage of your people while they were being disciplined and brought out great wrath against them and celebrated their destruction. And what we see here is that you are proclaiming that was never your desire for them to enjoy tormenting your people. And so now it is time for their destruction. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that it is vitally important for us to remain true to you, first of all, and it is vitally important for us to be faithful in our relationship with you. We can't do it on our own, so we're praying that you would give us the ability to do that through your Holy Spirit. And then, Lord, that there will come a day of recompense to the evildoers who do not repent. And so help us not to lose heart. Help us not to think all hope is lost when we see things that seem to be going in the wrong direction, but help us to know that you are going to fulfill your promises to your people. It may take a long time in our eyes, but to you, it will be right on time. And so help us, Lord, I pray, to keep the faith, keep our eyes on you, and to remember that even in these days of the rebuilding of the temple, when they'd gotten stalled out, enemies had come against them, you were reminding them some 15, 16 years later after the beginning of that rebuilding effort that you were in fact with them and you were going to help them complete the task. You still had a future for them. And so help us to remember that today in the age of the church. We'll remember you are with us. You will help us complete the task. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat and we're going to unpack this just a little bit. I love this area of Scripture because it reminds us that God has mercy. He shows mercy to His children. And even in these times whenever they had to receive the discipline of their Father, their Heavenly Father, it wasn't like God had completely turned away from them. How many of you guys were ever disciplined by your parents whenever you were young? At least in some portion, we kind of deserved it, right? Can we admit that? You know, I remember a couple of times I got disciplined whenever I didn't feel like I deserved it, and I figured, well, I kind of got by with a few things that my dad didn't see in the first place. You know, with God, He sees it all, and He had already proclaimed long before this that there was going to come a time that they would turn their backs on Him and that they were going to be exiled. They were going to spend the time in a foreign land. And whenever it got close and through the prophet Jeremiah, He even told them how long it was going to be. They knew that it would be for a full 70 years before they would be able to go back and to their homeland. But we see the mercy here in Zechariah 1, chapter 12, or chapter 1, verses 12 through 14, that the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts. I think that is so beautiful to hear those words. You know, the angel of the Lord generally, with scholars, is accepted to be a pre-incarnate Christ. And so we see what is this representation of God. Let's just say for sure he was a messenger of God. And I would say, you know, that I accept the thought that the angel of the Lord, being capital A, is a pre-incarnate experience with Christ. And what is he doing but talking to his Father? Isn't it interesting? Do you know what Jesus is doing for you right now? The Bible tells us that he is making intercession for us. And he is at the right hand of the Father right now, that he is making intercession for us. Do you know, if Christ wasn't making intercession for us, we would have no hope. But the fact that he is gives us all hope. And the fact that he was at this time asking of the Father, how long will you not have mercy on Jerusalem? How long is this going to continue to be, against which you were angry these 70 years? And the Lord answered the angel who talked with me to me with good and comforting words. What were these good and comforting words? First of all, that he had a zeal for his people and the place that his people were. He had a zeal for Jerusalem and a zeal for Zion. He had a great zeal. What does that mean? That he was for them. He wasn't against them. And so as they continued on, that would be such an encouragement to know that God is for us. Is that an encouragement to you today? To know that God is for his church. If you want to ask yourself, how do I know God is for his church? Just look at the cross. We get to look at the cross and see how he is for the church. Do you think it would have encouraged them? Whenever we look at the historical references, they went back to rebuild the temple, and then there were some enemies that came upon against them and said, no, you can't do this. This is wrong. They sent a letter to the next king and said, stop this building. So the king said, you have to stop the building. Sure, they were discouraged. And for better than 15 years, it stalled out. But now God is saying, I am with you to do this. You know, guys, the great king, the heavenly king, gave them the encouragement to continue the building of the temple even before their earthly king said it's okay. God said, I'm on your side. Don't worry, that temple will be rebuilt. In fact, he goes on to say, not only was he going to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple, but there would be a surveyor's line stretched out over Jerusalem as well. So we need to be on the third slide now. And this surveyor's line was kind of confusing to me, but you know, what it was meaning was, he wasn't just going to rebuild them, he was going to prosper them. He was going to enlarge them. He was going to enlarge their territory. Do you think we still have that same promise today, that God is still calling people into the kingdom of God and into the kingdom of heaven? Absolutely. You know, as we went to the fair and we set up our little booth over there, we were a booth among many. There was quite a few churches that were there. It wasn't a competition between churches. It was an action for the kingdom of God. And, you know, we got to have some spiritual conversations. You know, one of our people actually got to speak to a self-proclaimed devil worshiper, a worshiper of Satan. I got to speak to one that as well had indications in his apparel and in his tattoos that he too had gone in that direction. Hey, you know what? You know what the one that I talked to said to me? He said, I'm a very spiritual person, and I want you to know I have really been reconsidering and thinking about whether or not Jesus is really the way. And that would be an individual that you wouldn't necessarily think, okay, I'm picking out of all the people, there's the person that I think would be most likely to want to talk to me about Jesus. But do you know, after he came by the booth and we handed him a little piece of literature, he went on down, he came by the booth again, and by the third rotation, I thought, it isn't an accident, so I actually went out away from the booth and went and talked to him for a little while. And that's when he revealed to me this, and I told him that I would continue to pray for him. Do you know, he went back by the booth with the next people, received a Bible, a Jesus movie, and more tracts. All I want to say, guys, is even if it was just for that one person, our 4 days spent there was absolutely 100% worth it. Because you know what? The surveyor's line's being stretched out, and the kingdom of God is increasing. And you know, it wouldn't be increasing now if God hadn't done what he did then. They were a people who were in a faraway land. The Messiah hadn't come yet. God had to reestablish them back in their capital city, Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and eventually, some 400 plus years later, bring Jesus to planet Earth. You know what? God is good for his promises. He will fulfill his promises in our lives too. It just really helps me to see, by what he did in his people's lives then, he is still the same God now. And he is going to fulfill his promises in your life, in your family. And you know what our part is? To be faithful and true to his word. Just believe his word. Just desire to please him through faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's what he proclaimed, is that he would bring prosperity. And at verse 17, he said, "My city shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem." You know what he's going to do in the opposite of that measure? He's going to bring destruction on their enemies. He's going to bring destruction on their enemies. The next slide. And so in Zechariah 1:21, all the way down at the end of that chapter, is an important statement. He's talking about these horns. Do you know what horns represent in the scripture? It really represents not only nations, but the power of that nation or the king. And so there were four different kingdoms that had really celebrated the destruction of Jerusalem and had a hand in it. And many debate who these four different nations are, but we know from the dreams that Daniel had in his visions that we definitely have Babylon involved. Amen. That's where they got taken away to. And we definitely have the Medes and the Persians. So some say that's only one. I say that's two, because they were actually two who were combined. And I think that it's also speaking of the Greek Empire as well, but some think Egypt as well. So Egypt could be added in there as well, because we see that they had a hand in hurting Jerusalem during that time of captivity as well. But nonetheless, it didn't matter how powerful these nations seemed in their day. God is more powerful. God is more powerful than any world power. And we see a lot of things going on in our day, and it's leaving a lot of people scratching their heads. Amen? Are you kind of like looking at things around the world and wondering, how's all this going to turn out? I just want to remind you and to encourage you to know God is still infinitely more powerful. I'm just going to go ahead and make a bold claim. God is even more powerful than COVID. Guys, you just stay faithful to God. God's going to stay faithful to you. And you know what? He was faithful to you even before you were faithful to him. So why should we doubt? God is definitely on our side. He showed us by sending Jesus. You know, but the opposite of the matter is, for those who are not on his side, he is going to scatter them. He's going to destroy them. And here he even just said, "These are the horns that scattered Judah, so that no one can lift up his head. But the craftsmen are coming to terrify them." We see the building of the church, don't we, all across the world. And you know what? It's a terrifying thing to those who are on the wrong side of God. "To cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their horn against the Lamb, the land of Judah, to scatter it." Guys, I just want to remind you that God's plan for you is good. So look at Jeremiah 29, 10 and 11, something that he said to Jerusalem even before they went into their 70-year exile. In fact, this is where it's proclaimed. And so in verse, we know Jeremiah 29:11 pretty well. A lot of us have committed that one to memory, or, you know, it's a lot of times on graduation cards and different cards that we give out. And it is it's a call of blessing. But let's read the verse before it and the verses after it as well. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. So he said this before they went into exile, amen? Before the 70 years even started, he said this to them. Now let's continue to read on in verses 12 through 14. Then you will call upon me. Guys, as we see that God is faithful, what we need to do is call upon him all the more. Amen? Amen? Just keep calling upon the Lord. Keep looking to the Lord. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Y'all remember 2 Chronicles 7:14? He said way back to Solomon that when all these plagues and whenever this time of suffering comes against you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, right, and turn from their wicked ways. This is being repeated again through the prophet Jeremiah many years later, but years before it actually was going to be found to happen. God is good for his promises. If we will seek him, if we will humble ourselves, if we will turn away from our sin, then he will hear and forgive and save. 2 Chronicles 7:14, Jeremiah 29. Still the same heart of the same God. And you, when you search for me with all your heart. Guys, he doesn't want half our life. He doesn't want half our mind. He doesn't want half our heart. He wants the whole thing. He wants the whole life. And then he says in verse 14, Jeremiah 29:14, I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity. He did it for Israel. He did it for Judah. He does it for us. What kind of captivity were you in when God found you, when he called you, when you answered him, when you sought him with your whole heart? What kind of captivity did he bring me out of? I can tell you, I don't want to go back. I want to keep going forward with God. I want to keep getting as far away from that captivity as possible and into the prosperity that God has for me. Guys, it really is a prosperity gospel, but it has nothing to do with your prosperity in this world. It has everything to do with the prosperity you're going to be able to see in the lives of your children, the lives of your family, in the lives of people coming to the Lord and eventually in heaven. You know what the greatest thing about heaven's going to be? That we are with God. And that he is with us openly. And then to see all the others who are there too. Can you imagine seeing all of your family members? Wouldn't that be the greatest joy? Now maybe for some, it's too late to make that decision. We'll have to wait and see. But maybe for others, it's time for us to build into their lives to do everything we can to try to make sure they're going to be there too. Amen? Because really, when I look at my children, my grandchildren, and all those around me, my thought isn't, boy, I hope that their income is so high that they can really live a good life here. My thought is, man, I really want to be with them forever in heaven. God will take care of all the rest if we just get the relationship with him right. And so he promised to them he was going to bring them back from their captivity. I will gather you up, gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. God is good for his promises. 70 years before, even hundreds of years before, God gave them this promise. God fulfilled his promise. God is good for his promises in your life too. So here's what the end looks like for all the others. We'll just go ahead and jump to the end of the book. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Praise the Lord. We're all happy to hear that. But you know what? The unfortunate thing is, verses 14 through 15, then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. We're happy for that too. But verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Some ways, guys, we're saying, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord. But in other ways, we have got to admit that we still have loved ones and people around us that their names are not written in the book of life yet. So let's be like together and committed to following through with God's desire to use us to be witnesses in this process. Amen? God has saved me, and hopefully he has also saved you, that you are in a place where you're walking with the Lord. Now he wants to use us to be a witness to others. So that is what the end looks like for those who are enemies of God. This is what is in store for God's children. There's so much more that I could have written on this, but I just went with the one verse from Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. That pretty well just says it all, isn't it? Everything that's God, that belongs to God, he wants to share with you. He wants to share with me. He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. And implied, sons and daughters. Amen? I want you to know, God always keeps his promises. Don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. Don't be set aside to just sit in a level of discouragement, but keep going forward with God. He is going to fulfill his promises. Praise God. Have you taken that first step with him? I pray you have. That step of salvation, just turning your life over to him. If he's calling your heart, today is the day. Don't be afraid to just follow Christ with all your heart. He is for us. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just want to thank you for who you are. I want to thank you for what you've come to do. Lord, I pray that you would just bless this dear congregation of believers and brothers and sisters in the church. Bless any who would desire to join and become part of the body of Christ here today. And if anybody desires to give their heart to you for the first time, let them repent of their sins. Just agree with you that it is sin in their lives that is destroying them, and want to turn away from that, to turn to you and ask you to be their Lord, their King, because you are our Savior. Help us to admit you that we are sinners and to agree with you that you are the solution. When you died on that cross, you weren't just some person who ended up on a cross to die. You are the only perfect person that ever lived. And so you gave your life as a ransom for ours. Lord, bless us just to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.